Chapter 11 Lessons and Teachers. As soon as Rand was out the door, Varen let loose the breath she had been holding. Once she had told Swan and Moiraine how dangerous he was. Neither had listened, and now the passage of little more than a year saw Swan stilled and probably dead, while Moiraine... The streets crawled with rumors about the dragon reborn in the royal palace, most beyond belief, and none that was credible mentioned an Aes Sedai. Moiraine might have decided to let him think he was going his own way, but she would never allow him to get far from her, not now when he was rising to such power, not now when the hazard he presented had grown so great. Had Rand turned on her more violently than he just had on them? He had aged since she last saw him. His face bore the tightness of struggle. The light knew he had reason enough, but could it be the struggle for sanity as well? So, Moiraine dead, Swan dead, the White Tower broken, and Rand possibly on the edge of madness. Varen tisked irritably. If you took risks, sometimes the bill came due when you least expected, in the last way you expected. Almost 70 years of delicate work on her part, and now it might all go for naught because of one young man. Even so, she had lived too long, been through too much to allow herself to be dismayed. First things first, take care of what can be done now before worrying too long over what might never be. That lesson had been forced on her, but she had taken it to heart. The first thing was to settle the young women down. They still huddled like a flock of sheep, weeping and holding on to one another and hiding their faces. She quite understood. This was not her first time to confront a man who could channel, much less the dragon reborn himself, and her stomach heaved as if on a ship at sea. She began with comforting words, patting a shoulder here, stroking hair there, trying to make her voice motherly, convincing them that Rand was gone, which in most cases meant convincing them to open their eyes, went a long way toward bringing relative calm. At least the sobbing subsided. But Jancy kept demanding piercingly that someone tell her Rand had been lying, that it had all been a trick, while Bodwin was just as shrill in wanting her brother found and rescued. Varen would have given a great deal to know where Matt was, and Laureen blubbered that they had to leave Caemlyn immediately, on the minute. Varen drew one of the serving maids aside. A plain-faced woman at least 20 years older than any of the Two Rivers folk, she was wide-eyed, although wiping away tears with her apron and shaking. After requesting her name, Varen said, "Bring them all nice fresh tea, Azril, hot and with plenty of honey, and put a little brandy in it." Considering the younger women for a moment, she added, "Make it more than a little, a generous splash each. That should help soothe their nerves. And you and the other maids should have some as well." Azril sniffed and blinked and wiped her face, but she curtsied. Being sent about her regular duties seemed to lessen her tears, if not her fright. "Serve them in their rooms," Alana said, and Varen nodded agreement. A little sleep would do wonders. They were only a few hours out of bed, but brandy atop all their hard travel should do the trick. The order caused a commotion. "We can't hide here," Laureen managed around sniffles and hiccups. "We have to go, now. He'll kill us." Bodwin's cheeks glistened damply, but her face had taken on a determined cast. That Two Rivers stubbornness was going to cause more than one of these young women trouble. "We have to find Matt. We can't leave him with a man who can... We can't. Even if it is Rand, we just can't." "I want to see Caemlyn," Jancy squeaked, though she was still trembling. The rest joined in right on top of those three, a handful tremulously supporting Jancy despite their fear, the majority adamantly in favor of departure. One of the young women from Watch Hill, a tall, pretty girl named Ella, fair-haired for the Two Rivers, began to wail again at the top of her lungs. It was all Varen could do not to smack the lot of them. There was excuse for the youngest, but Laureen and Ella and the others with their hair braided were supposed to be women. Most had not been touched, and the danger was gone. On the other hand, they were all tired. Rand's visit had been a shock, and they were likely to face a good many more in the near future, so she held her exasperation in check. Alana did not. Even among greens she was noted for her quicksilver disposition, and it was worse of late. "You will go to your rooms now," she said coolly, but her voice was all that was cool. Varin sighed as the other Aes Sedai wove air and fire into illusion. Gasps filled the room, and already wide eyes bulged. There was no real need for this, but custom frowned on interfering with another sister publicly, and in truth, Varin found the sudden cessation of Ella's howls a relief. Her own nerves were far from their best. The untrained young women could not see the flows, of course. To them it seemed that Alanna was growing taller with every word. Her voice grew with it, tone unchanged, but booming to match her apparent size. "You are to be novices, and the first lesson a novice must learn is to obey Aes Sedai, immediately, without complaint or quibble." Alanna stood in the middle of the common room, unchanged, to Varin at least, but the illusion's head touched the ceiling beams. "Now run. Whoever is not in her room by the time I count five will regret it to her dying day. One, two." Before she reached three, there was a mad squealing scramble on the stairs at the back of the room. It was a wonder no one was trampled. Alanna did not bother to go beyond four. As the last of the Two Rivers girls vanished above, she released Sidar, the illusion vanished, and she gave a short, satisfied nod. Varin expected the young women would have to be cajoled even to peek out of their rooms now. Perhaps it was just as well. With matters as they were, she did not want anyone sneaking out for a view of Caenlyn and having to be retrieved. Of course, Alanna had had her effect elsewhere, too. It was necessary to coax the maids out from under the tables where they had hidden, and the one who had collapsed trying to crawl to the kitchen had to be helped back onto her feet. They made no noise, they just trembled like leaves in a high wind. Varin had to give each one a little push to start her moving, and repeated her orders about the brandy and tea three times before Azril stopped gazing at her as if watching her sprout another head. The innkeeper's jaw was on his chest, his eyes seemed ready to fall out of his face. Varin looked at Tomas and motioned to the swaying fellow. Tomas gave her a wry look. He always did when she asked him to clear up trivial matters, yet he seldom questioned her orders, then clapped an arm around Master Dillam's shoulders and asked in a jovial tone whether the two of them might not share a few mugs of the inn's best wine. A good man, Tomas, skilled in surprising areas. Ivone had seated himself with his back against the wall and his boots up on a table. He managed to keep an eye on the door to the street and one on Alanna. A very cautious eye on Alanna. He was more than solicitous of her since Owen, her other warder, had died in the Two Rivers, and wisely more than wary of her temper, though she usually managed to control it better than she had today. Alanna herself showed no interest in helping clean up the mess she had made. She stood in the middle of the common room looking at nothing, arms folded. To anyone not Aes Sedai, she probably seemed serenity incarnate. To Varin, Alanna was a woman ready to explode. Varin touched her arm. "We must talk." Alanna looked at her, eyes unreadable, then without a word glided toward the private dining room. Behind her, Varin heard Master Dillam say in a shaken voice, "Do you suppose I could claim the Dragon Reborn patronized my inn? He did come in, after all." For a brief moment she smiled. He would be all right, at least. Her smile vanished as she closed the door, sealing her and Alanna in. Alanna was already stalking back and forth in the small room, the silk of her divided skirts whispering like swords sliding from scabbards. There was no face of serenity now. "The gall of the man! The utter gall! Detaining us! Restricting us!" Varin watched her for a few moments before speaking. It had taken her 10 years to get over Balinor's death and bond Ivone. Alanna's emotions had been raw since Owen's death, and she had held them in far too long. The occasional bouts of weeping she had allowed herself since departing the Two Rivers were not enough of a release. "I suppose he can keep us out of the inner city with guards at the gate, but he cannot really hold us in Caenlyn." That got the withering glance it deserved. They could leave with little difficulty. However much Rand had taught himself, there was little chance he had managed to discover Ward's, but it would mean relinquishing the Two Rivers girls. No Aes Sedai had found a trove like the Two Rivers in... Varen could not imagine how long. Perhaps not since the Trolloc Wars. Even young women of 18, the limit they had set for themselves, often found it hard to accept the strictures of the novitiate. Yet had they extended the limit only 5 years, she and Alana could have brought out twice as many, if not more. Five of these girls, five, had the spark inborn, including Matt's sister and Ella and young Jancy. They would channel eventually whether anyone taught them or not and be very strong. She and Alana had left two more behind to be gathered up in a year or so, when they were old enough to leave home. That was safe enough. A girl with the ability born in her very rarely manifested it before 15 without training. The rest showed exceptional promise, all of them. The Two Rivers was a load of pure gold. Now that she had the other woman's attention, Varen changed the subject. She certainly had no intention of abandoning those young women, or of moving any further from Rand than she had to. "Do you think he is right about rebels?" Alana's fists tightened for a moment on her skirts. "The possibility repels me. Could we really have come to..." She trailed off, sounding lost. Her shoulders slumped. Tears bubbled just beneath the surface, barely held in check. Now that the other woman's anger was dulled, Varen had questions to ask before sharpening it again. "Is there any prospect your butcher can tell you more of what has happened in Tarvalen if you dig?" The woman was not really Alana's. She was a Green Aja agent, discovered because Alana had noticed an emergency signal of some sort outside her shop. Not that Alana had told Varen what it was, of course. Varen certainly would not have revealed any brown signal. "No, she knows no more than the message she gave me, and that dried her mouth so she was hardly able to form words. All loyal Aes Sedai to return to the tower. All is forgiven. That was the essence of it, anyway." A flash of anger lit Alana's eyes, but only for a moment, and not as strong as before. "If not for all those rumors, I'd never have let you know who she is." That and her emotions being unbalanced. At least she had stopped pacing. "I know," Varen said, sitting down at the table, "and I will respect the confidence. Now, you must agree that message makes the rumors true. The tower is broken. In all probability, there are rebels somewhere. The question is, what do we do about it?" Alana looked at her as if she were mad. Small wonder. Swan had to have been deposed by the Hall of the Tower according to Tower law. Even a suggestion of going against Tower law was unthinkable. But then the tower broken was unthinkable. "If you have no answer now, think on it. And think on this. Swan Sanche was part of finding young Althor in the first place." Alana opened her mouth, doubtless to ask how Varen knew and whether she had been part of it too, but Varen gave her no chance. "Only a simpleton would believe that role played no part in bringing her down. Coincidences that large do not exist. So think what Elida's view of Rand must be. She was red, remember. While you are thinking, answer me this. What were you at, bonding him like that?" The question should not have caught Alana by surprise, yet it did. She hesitated, then drew out a chair and sat, arranging her skirts before she answered. "It was the logical thing to do with him right there in front of us. It should have been done long ago. You could not, or would not." Like most Greens, she was somewhat amused by other Aja's insistence that each sister have only one warder. What Greens thought of the Reds having none was better left unsaid. "They should all have been bonded at the first chance. They're too important to run loose, most of all." Color blossomed suddenly in her cheeks. It would be a good while yet before she had full control of her emotions again. Varen knew what caused the blushes. Alana had let her tongue run away with her. They had had Perrin under their eyes for long weeks while testing young women in the Two Rivers. But Alana had quickly gone silent on the subject of bonding him. The reason was as simple as a heated promise from Fael, delivered well out of Perrin's hearing, that if Alana did any such thing, she would not leave the Two Rivers alive. Had Fail known more of the bond between Aes Sedai and Gaidin, that threat would not have worked, yet her ignorance, if nothing else, had stayed Alana's hand. Very likely it had been frustration over that, plus the frayed state of her nerves that had led to what she did with Rand. Not only bonding him, but doing so without his permission. That had not been done in hundreds of years. Well, Verin thought dryly, I have broken a few customs in my time. Logical, she said, smiling to take the sting from her words. You sound like a wight. Well, now that you have him, what are you going to do with him? Considering the lessons he taught us. I am minded of a fireside tale when I was a girl about a woman who put saddle and bridle on a lion. She found it a fine and wonderful ride, but then discovered she could never dismount and never sleep. Shivering, Alana rubbed her arms. I still cannot believe he is so strong. If only we had linked sooner. And I tried. I failed. He is so strong. Verin barely kept from shivering herself. They could not have linked sooner. Not unless Alana was suggesting they should have linked before she bonded him. Verin was not sure what the result of that would have been. In any case, it had been a series of extremely bad moments, from discovering that they could not cut him off from the true source, to the contemptuous ease with which he had shielded them, snapping their connections to Sidar like thread, both of them at once. Remarkable. How many would it take to shield and hold him? The full 13? That was only tradition, but it might be necessary with him. At any rate, that was speculation for another day. And then there is the matter of his amnesty. Alana's eyes widened. Surely you don't believe that. With every false dragon there have been tales that he was gathering men who could channel, all as false as the men. They wanted power for themselves, not to share it with other men. He is not a false dragon, Verin said quietly, and that may change everything. If one rumor is true, so can another be, and the amnesty has been on every tongue since Whitebridge. Even if it is, perhaps no one has come. No decent man wants to channel. If more than a handful wanted it, we would have had false dragons every week. He is Taviran, Alana. He draws what he needs to him. Alana's mouth worked, her hands now white-knuckled, fists on the table. Every shred of Aes Sedai tranquility gone, she trembled visibly. We can't allow. Men channeling, loosed on the world? If it is true, we must stop it. We must. She was on the point of springing up again, eyes flashing. Before we can decide what to do about them, Verin said calmly, we need to know where he is keeping them. The royal palace seems likely, but finding out may be difficult with the inner city denied to us. This is what I propose. Alana leaned forward intently. There was a good deal to be worked out, though most would come later. A good many questions to be answered later. Was Moiraine dead? And if so, how had she died? Were there rebels? And what should her and Alana's stance be concerning them? Should they try to deliver Rand to Elida or to these rebels? Where were they? That knowledge would be valuable whichever way the other questions were answered. How were they to make use of the so very fragile leash Alana had placed on Rand? Should one or both try to take Moiraine's place? For the first time since Alana had begun to let her emotions over Owen creep to the surface, Verin was glad she had held them in long enough to become so volatile. In her raveled condition, Alana was bound to be more amenable to guidance, and Verin knew exactly how some of those questions had to be answered. She did not think Alana would like some of those answers. Best not to let her learn them until it was too late to change them.
Rand raced back to the palace at a gallop, slowly outdistancing even the running Aiel, ignoring their shots as he ignored the shaken fists of people forced to leap out of Jaden's way, and the jumble of overturned sedan chairs and coaches locked wheel to wheel with market carts in his wake. Bashir and the Saldaeans barely kept up on their smaller horses. He was not sure why he was in such a hurry. The news he carried was not that urgent, but as the shakiness faded from his arms and legs, he realized more and more that he was aware of Alana still. He could feel her. It was as if she had crawled inside his head and taken up residence. If he could feel her, could she feel him the same way? What else could she do? What else? He had to get away from her. "Pride!" Luz Theron cackled, and for once Rand did not try to silence the voice. He had a different destination than the palace in mind, but traveling required you know the place you left from even better than the place you were going. At the south stable, he tossed the stallion's reins to a leather-vested groom and ran, his long legs carrying him ahead of the Saldaeans, down corridors where servants gaped at him, arresting bows and curtsies as he sped past. In the great hall, he grasped Saidine, opened the hole in air, and darted through into the clearing near the farm, letting the source go. Releasing a long breath, he sank to his knees in the dead leaves. The heat beneath the bare branches hammered him. He had lost the necessary concentration a long while back. He could still feel her, but it was fainter here, if a certainty that she was in that direction could be said to be faint. He could have pointed it out with his eyes closed. For a moment he took hold of Saidine again, that rage of fire and ice and sour slime. He held a sword in his hands, a sword made of fire. Of fire. A heron dark on the slightly curved red blade, though he did not recall thinking of it. Fire, but the long hilt felt cool and firm against his palms. The void made no difference, the power made no difference. Alana was still there, curled up in a corner of his brain, watching him. With a bitter laugh, he released the power again and knelt there. He had been so sure. Only two Aes Sedai. Of course he could handle them. He had handled Egwene and Elaine together. What could they possibly do to him? He realized he was still laughing. He did not seem able to stop. Well, it was funny. His fool pride. Overconfidence. It had gotten him in trouble before, and more than him. He had been so sure that he and the 100 companions could seal the boar safely. Leaves crackled as he forced himself to his feet. "That was not me," he said hoarsely. "That was not me. Get out of my head. All of you, get out of my head." Luz Theron's voice murmured indistinctly, distantly. Alana waited silently, patiently in the back of his head. The voice seemed afraid of her. Deliberately, Rand brushed off the knees of his breeches. He would not surrender to this. Trust no Aes Sedai. He would remember that from now on. "A man without trust might as well be dead," Luz Theron giggled. He would not surrender. Nothing had changed about the farm. Nothing and everything. The farmhouse and the barn were the same, the chickens and goats and cows. Sora Grady watched his arrival from a window, blank-faced and cold. She was the only woman now. All the other wives and sweethearts had gone with the men who failed Taim's testing. Taim had the students in a clear area of hard red clay and fitful weeds beyond the barn. All seven of them. Aside from Sora's husband Jur, only Damer Flynn, Eben Hopwill, and Fedwin Moore remained from that first testing. The others were new, all looking almost as young as Fedwin and Eben. Except for white-haired Damer, the students sat in a line facing away from Rand. Damer sat in front of them, frowning as he stared at a head-sized stone 30 paces away. "Now," Taim said, and Rand felt Damer seize Saidine, saw him inexpertly weave fire and earth. The stone exploded, and Damer and the other students threw themselves flat to escape flying shards. Not Taim. Stone splinters bounced off the shield of air he had thrown up at the last instant. Lifting his head warily, Damer wiped blood from a shallow gouge below his left eye. Rand's mouth tightened. It was only luck that none of those flying pieces had struck him. He glanced back at the farmhouse. Sora was still there, unhurt apparently, and still glaring at him. The chickens had hardly paused in their scratching. They seemed to be used to this.
"Perhaps you will remember what I say next time," Taim said calmly, letting his weave vanish. "Shield as you strike, or you may kill yourself."
He glanced at Rand as if he had been aware he was there all the time.
"Continue,"
he told the students, and walked toward Rand. His hawk-nosed face seemed to have a cruel cast today. As Damer sat down in the line, blotchy-faced Eben stood up, nervously tugging a big ear as he used air to lift another stone from a pile off to one side. His flows wobbled, and he dropped it once before setting it in place. "Is it safe to leave them alone like that?" Rand asked as Taim reached him. The second stone exploded like the first, but this time all of the students had woven shields. So had Taim, surrounding himself and Rand. Without a word, Rand took hold of Saidin again and made his own shield, forcing Taim's away from him. Taim's mouth quirked in that near smile.
"You said to push them, my lord dragon, so I push. I make them do everything with the power, the chores, everything. The newest got his first hot meal last night. If they can't heat it themselves, they eat cold. For most things, it still takes twice as long as doing it by hand, but they're learning the power as fast as they can, believe me. Of course, there still aren't very many." Ignoring the implied question, Rand looked around. "Where's Haslan? Not drunk again? I told you, he's only to have wine at night."
Henry Haslan had been master of the sword for the Queen's guards in charge of training recruits until Ravan began remaking the guards, discarding everyone faithful to Morghaz, or sending them off to fight in Kyrian. Too old for campaigning, Haslan had been handed his pension and shown the gate, and when news of Morghaz's death spread through Camlann, he crawled into a wine jar. But he thought Ravan, Gabriel to him, had killed Morghaz, not Rand, and he could teach, when he was sober.
"I sent him away," Taim said. "What good are swords?"
Another rock exploded.
"I can barely avoid stabbing myself, and I've never felt the lack. They have the power now."
"Kill him! Kill him now!"
Luce Theron's voice echoed hollowly through the void. Rand stamped the echo out, but he could not stamp out the anger that suddenly seemed to shell around the emptiness containing him. The void kept his voice drained of emotion, though.
"Find him, Taim, and bring him back. Tell him you have changed your mind. Tell the students that. Tell them whatever you choose, but I want him here, giving lessons every day. They need to be part of the world, not apart from it. What are they supposed to do if they can't channel? When you were shielded by the Aes Sedai, you might still have escaped if you knew how to use a sword, how to fight with your hands."
"I did escape. Here I am."
"Some of your followers broke you free, so I heard, else you'd have ended up in Tarvalen like Loghain, gentled. These men won't have followers. Find Haslan."
The other man bowed smoothly.
"As my lord dragon commands." "Was that what brought my lord dragon here? Haslan and swords?"
The merest hint of contempt tinged his voice, but Rand ignored it.
"There are Aes Sedai in Camlann. Trips to the city have to stop. Yours and the students, too. The light only knows what will happen if one of them runs into an Aes Sedai and she recognizes what he is. Or for that matter, when he recognized her, as he assuredly would. He would probably run or strike out in a panic, and either would mark him. Either would doom him. From what Rand saw, Varen or Alana could wrap up any of the students like a child." Taim shrugged.
"Doing an Aes Sedai's head like one of those rocks isn't beyond them even now. The weave is only a little different."
Glancing over his shoulder, he raised his voice.
"Concentrate, Adley! Concentrate!"
The lanky fellow standing in front of the other students, all arms and legs, gave a start and lost Saidin, then fumbled it back again. Another rock exploded as Taim turned back to Rand.
"For that matter, I can
remove them myself, if you are not up to it. If I wanted them dead, I'd have killed them. He thought he could do it, if they tried to kill him or gentle him. He hoped he could. But would they try either, after bonding him? That was one thing he did not intend to let Taim know. Even without Luz Theron's mutters, he did not trust the man enough to expose any weakness he could hide. Light, what sort of hold did I let Alana get on me? If the time comes to kill Aes Sedai, I'll let you know. Until then, no one is to so much as shout at one, unless she's trying to take his head off. In fact, you're all to stay as far from Aes Sedai as you can. I want no incidents, nothing to put them against me.
You think they are not already? Taim murmured.
Again, Rand ignored him, this time because he was not sure of the answer. And I don't want anybody dead or gentle because his head is too big for his cap. Make sure they know it. I hold you responsible for them.
As you wish, Taim said with another shrug. Some will die sooner or later, unless you mean to keep them cooped up here forever. Even if you do, some will probably die. It's almost unavoidable, unless I slow the lessons. You would not have to husband them so, if you let me go out looking.
There it was again. Rand looked at the students. A sweating, pale-haired youth with blue eyes was having a hard time moving a stone into place. He kept losing Saidin, and the rock moved by small leaps across the ground. In a few hours, the wagon would be coming out from the palace with the applicants, who had arrived since midday yesterday. Four this time. Some days it was only three or two, though the numbers had been increasing generally. 18 since he brought Taim out here 7 days ago, and only three of them could learn to channel. Taim insisted. That was a remarkable number, considering that they simply walked into Camelin looking for the opportunity. He had also pointed out more than once that at this rate they could match the tower in 6 years or so. Rand needed no reminders that he did not have 6 years, and he did not have time to let them train more slowly.
How would you do it? Using gateways?
Taim had picked that up right away. He was very quick with everything Rand showed him.
I can visit two or even three villages a day. Villages will be easier in the beginning than even small towns. I'll leave Flynn to watch the lessons. He's the furthest along despite what you saw, and take Grady or Hopwill or more. You'll have to supply some decent horses. The nag that pulls our cart won't do.
What do you intend, though? Just ride in and announce that you're looking for men who want a channel? You'll be lucky if the villagers don't try to hang you.
I can be a little more circumspect than that, Taim said dryly. I will say I'm recruiting men to follow the Dragon Reborn.
A little more circumspect? Not much.
That should frighten the people just enough to keep them from my throat, long enough to gather in whoever is willing. And it calls out anybody who isn't ready to support you. I don't suppose you mean to train up men who'll turn on you the first chance they find.
He raised a questioning eyebrow, but did not wait for the unnecessary answer.
Once I have them safely away from the village, I can bring them here through a gateway. Some might panic, but they should not be too hard to handle. Once they've agreed to follow a man who can channel, they can hardly balk at letting me test them. Those who fail, I'll send on to Camelin. It's time you started raising an army of your own instead of depending on others. Bashir could change his mind. He will, if Queen Tenobia tells him to. And who can know what those so-called Aiel will do?
This time he paused, but Rand held his tongue. He had thought along the same lines himself, if certainly not about the Aiel, but Taim had no need to know that. After a moment the man went on, as if he had never brought up the subject.
I'll make you a wager. You name the price. The first day I recruit, I'll find as many men who can learn as walk into Camelin in a month on their own. Once Flynn and some of the others are ready to go out without me, he spread his hands. I will match the White Tower for you in less than a year, and every man a weapon.
Rand hesitated. Letting Taim go off was a risk. The man was too aggressive. What would he do if he came across an Aes Sedai on one of his recruiting trips? Maybe he would keep his word and spare her life, but what if she discovered what he was? What if she shielded and captured him? That was a loss Rand could not afford. He could not train students and do everything else he had to do as well. 6 years to match the tower. If Aes Sedai did not find this place first and destroy it and the students before they knew enough to defend themselves. Or less than a year. Finally, he nodded. Luz Theron's voice was a mad buzz in the distance. "You will have your horses."